Thank you, Karina. Let's all stand together this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Thank you for your faithfulness in being here this morning. Matthew chapter 4. We're in a little series on what did Jesus do? We're going to look at something in his life today, something that applies very straightly to us. Matthew chapter 4, we'll read the verse 11 verses. I'll let you get there. When I hear the pages turning, I know you're still looking. And that's just the staff members. Matthew chapter 4, let's start in verse 1 together, please. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. He said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time that we have to look at your word. So we look at the life of Christ and some of the things that he did and how it applies to us. Help us to get the truth that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. While you're there, keep your finger in Matthew and flip over to James. I want to read a couple of verses in James that have to deal with this subject of temptation. James chapter 1 and verse 13. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Right after Hebrews. James 1 and verse 13 says, let no man say when he was tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. As we mentioned earlier, by just referencing what we've been doing, we've been talking about what did Jesus do. We don't have to worry about what would Jesus do. That was a big thing, because all we have to do is look in the Bible and we know what Jesus did. We don't need another money-making marketing scheme in Christianity to help us out. What we need is something that changes our life. It cracks me up. Remember, they used to have, went out of business, the bookstore over here on Bellflower. And I used to call it the Money Changers. But you would go in there, and they had breath mints that were Christian. They were called Testaments. How cute. It was guaranteed, if you used those, that five people would get saved. I guess it gave us holy breath. I'm not sure. That's just nothing but marketing. What did Jesus do? All we have to do is look in the Bible and it's there. And we should follow his example. Remember, Jesus was God. But he was also 100% flesh. He was all God in a human body. That's why things like the virgin birth are important. Because if Jesus would have had an earthly father, he would not have been perfect. He would have been a sinner like us. And he would not have been Jesus. The point I'm making this morning is, because he was 100% man and lived in a body of flesh, he faced the same things that we face. In Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 14 and 15, it says, seeing then we have a high priest, a great high priest, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, speaking of Christ, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Because he was in the flesh, he felt the things that we felt. He had the infirmities that we would have to go through. And he was tempted the way we would have been tempted. He understood our feelings because he had them too. He understands temptation because he was tempted too. Temptation comes to everybody. We are all tempted to do something which we know would be wrong, which we know would be a violation of God's law, and which ultimately would not be good for us. We must have knowledge of what this temptation is and how it works. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. When we face times in our life when we are tempted, we are tempted to do something that is wrong. We're tempted to violate our conscience, our convictions, and just really flat out sin. We understand that if we're following the things I'm going to mention this morning, that we're never tempted more than we can handle. Never are. Well, you know, it was just too strong. I just couldn't. Now, there may be a reason why it was too strong, but if we're doing the things we're supposed to do, we can get through it. Temptation is everywhere today. It's in our media devices. It's glorified in our society. It's on our billboards. It's as we just live life. It's everywhere. And if we're going to be the Christians that God wants us to be, we have to know how to fight these things that come our way that would try to push us to do that which is not right. I want to mention two things this morning. Number one, we must have the proper understanding of temptation. We must have the proper understanding of temptation. As we look at the verses in James, we see what these things we should understand. Temptation is faced by everyone. In verse 14 of James, he says, every man is tempted. Every man is tempted. Now, we are to avoid it if at all possible. But because we live in this world, it is going to face us, even if we're doing everything that's right, even if we're going the right way, there are things that are going to come our way that impulse to sin and do wrong is going to come upon every person. Even Christ was tempted. By the way, that's why last year when we were looking at prayer, we looked at the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:13, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, and lead us not in temptation. That's even something we should be praying about, to stay away from temptation and not to put ourselves in temptation's way. Let me say this, temptation is not a sin, because if temptation was a sin, Jesus Christ would have sinned. Temptation's not a sin. It's something that comes to every man. The point is, we need to be careful in the way we live, understanding that it's coming. It's there. We face it all the time. We must also understand that temptation is not from God. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay? And sometimes people are newer Christians, whatever, say, oh, pray for me. God's tempting me. God would never tempt you. See, you need to understand the purpose of temptation. Purpose of temptation is to ruin your life. The purpose of the temptation is to bring destruction into your life. Now, God sometimes allows testing in our life, testing our trials and circumstances that come in our life that maybe aren't pleasant, that are hard for us to get through, but God uses those to make us stronger and better Christians. That is not the point of temptation. God allows testing in our life to mature us. Testing deals with the circumstances. Temptation is trying to destroy us. It deals with sin. So God is not tempting us. God has nothing to do with sin. Nothing. Except forgiving it. Amen. Also, we need to understand that this is important. Temptation draws us away from where we should be. Verse 14 says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away. He's taken away from where he should be. We talk about our enemy Satan, and Satan is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Or who do they want to devour? They're looking for someone that steps away from the safety zone. They're drawn away from where they should be so that now they can very easily pick us off or pick them off. That's what temptation tries to do. It comes at a place and it tries to take us away from that safety zone. Don't be drawn away. Temptation takes place when we're not where we should be, our spiritual safety net. That's why we need to take spiritual precautions to make sure that we limit what happens in our lives. And when we have these things in our life, if we bypass them, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. That's why, as Christians, we need to have convictions. What are convictions? Convictions are beliefs we have about what is right and wrong, and because of those beliefs, we set up things in place to keep ourselves from getting involved with something that would be wrong. Too many Christians are very flippant about the way they live. They don't set up guidelines. Everything's just like, I'm just loving Jesus, and everything's going to be great. Not if you're not careful. We need to be very, very careful. If you don't have convictions in your life, things in your life, you'll draw it away into a position of temptation. It's got to get into your soul. There are things that are right and wrong. There are things that are dangerous. There are things that are hurtful, and it's better just to put these safeguards up so that you don't get yourself in a bad position. See, we're way too casual. Immorality is rampant in our country. Adultery is all over the place. I know this, if I don't allow myself to flirt or mess around with another woman, I'm probably not going to cheat on my wife. I'll say it again. If I don't allow myself to flirt or be around or have contact with another lady, I probably won't cheat on my wife. Vice versa. Oh, it's just, you know, it's just innocent. We're just talking to each other. You violated that stage and now you're being drawn away. I know this, if you don't ever step into that stage, you're that much farther from sin. Sin's over here, it's going to draw you away. If I'm not on a computer without accountability, I won't be tempted to go to a wrong site. This isn't real popular, is it? You know, I just have this computer and it's locked in my room and, you know, I'm okay. I'm an adult. Everything's okay. No, it's not. It's not. Well, I just think I'll just check this. No, don't check nothing. Oh, look it. I got a message from an old high school friend. And I'm a lady and he's a guy. I had to see what he's doing. No. Why? But that was my old boyfriend. Oh, I see. You don't care to catch up with the people at school you weren't interested in. I thought I'd throw that in there for free. Since it's quiet, we might as well throw this one out. If my child doesn't have a cell phone, it probably will keep him away from some temptations. Yeah, that didn't go over very well. So my child, the cell phone's not a problem for my child. Here's the test. Take it from him for a month. I said that in church, I don't know, a couple months ago, and someone... Was it you who gave me the story, Brother Pichardo? That some child tried to poison their grandparents because they took their cell phone away from the child. Sounds to me like there's a problem there. I'm just saying, look at these areas, and if something's dangerous, put something in place to make sure that you stay back. That's what I'm saying. That's not awesome. It's funny. Why is it whenever an athlete gets in trouble or some famous person gets in trouble, you know, it's like, oh, there was a basketball player, his wife got stabbed or he got stabbed or something. And it's like, I know what the next phrase is going to be. They were at a nightclub at 3:30 in the morning. What a shock. I thought at nightclubs at 2 in the morning they had Bible studies. Whenever something bad happens like that, why is it that they're always out at 1 or 2 in the morning? Robert? He doesn't know. I don't know either. It's a coincidence, isn't it? Just now? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up. Yeah, it's a coincidence that they're out at some ungodly hour. Nothing good happens past midnight. Okay? Nothing good passes 11. Go home. But just we're drawn away. We're in a place, a time, and a situation that's not good, and the temptation gets worse. The later that clock gets at night, the worse the temptation's going to get. But there are some positives that'll keep you from being drawn away. If I'm faithful to church, it limits temptations. I just find the more I'm in church, the stronger I am, the better it is to fight the temptations. If I'm daily in God's word, that'll limit the temptations too. If I'm spending time in prayer with God, that'll limit temptation. If I'm vocal to everybody I know that I'm a Christian, that'll help limit the temptations. Well, I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. It's coming. Don't be afraid. So temptation draws us away. Another thing we understand is this. Temptation uses our sinful desires. Every man is drawn away. And the next phrase is, of his own lust and enticed. We think of lust, we think primarily of one thing. But that's not what the word means. Lust means desires. You see, the word enticed and the other one drawn away, they have the idea of baiting a trap. The purpose of baiting a trap is to catch something. Or baiting a hook, that's a good one. What Satan does is, temptation has the hook when you hook into it. But what's the bait that Satan uses? He uses our sinful desires. Those things that that are wrong that we are naturally have a bent to do. Now, there are some temptations that are common to everybody. Okay? We all fight those. But there are some things, because of the way you're made, that maybe are a little stronger for some of you than they are for others. Now, I've mentioned before, when I was younger, before I was saved, I used to drink. That's what we all did. Okay? It was weekends, that was party time. And that's what we did. Personally, I never liked the taste of it. I never was into it. I did it because Dave Lucero did it. I hung with Dave Lucero. And I just want him to be proud of me. Just kidding. I hung around with Robert, but you were way too bad, Dave. I just avoided you like the plague. But listen, can I just tell you something, Brother Bichardo? If I ever backslide, you're not going to find me in a bar. That's not a real desire that my flesh would want to go back to. Now, I know there are some things that my flesh would probably go back to if I backslid. But that would not be one of them. That was not the real... The point is, you know where Satan's going to try to get you. If you're a Christian, you're living for God, and you're doing well now, you think of it this way. What was that thing that was hardest for you to give up? What was that thing that was a real struggle and God gave you victory? Brother Ivan, the IU, intensive unit, that's what they need. RU ministry. I'll tell you what, the hardest addiction it is for them to give up, that's the debate Satan's going to throw out there. Because that's the hardest one they had to give up. So you know exactly. Listen, certain bait attracts certain things. If you're fishing for catfish, I won't tell you the bait you use, but it stinks and it's horrible because catfish will eat anything. But if you're going after a different type of fish, there's a certain type of bait you're going to use because that's what's attractive to that specific fish. That's what Satan uses, your desires. So that tells us, number one, we know where he's going to come after us. And that tells us, number two, we know where we need to be careful. Careful. Bible tells us we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know. God's told us what's up, and we need to know where it is. So let's be very careful. He uses our sinful desires. And last thing is, temptation, we need to understand that temptation's desired end is sinful action and spiritual death. Look at verse 15 in James. When lust hath conceived, it's almost talking about like a lady having a baby, this lust, and it all works together in your sin. It brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the end. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's probably some excitement in temptation. There's probably some, especially if your flesh has that desire, there's a little bit of, and the Bible talks about it, enjoyment for sin for a season. It's there for a season. But when temptation rears its ugly head, we need to not look at the whatever the action or it is. We need to look at the outcome. What's the outcome? The outcome's death. I'm a fish. And when we go fishing, I think it's trout we go for. Up at June Lake or whatever it was. Well, it's rain. We use this, the power bait, the rainbow garlic flavored power bait. It must be Italian fish. I'm not sure. They like garlic, or maybe it's just good for their hearts, you know. But we put that stuff on there, and it's the fish sees it. It's really bright. So you throw that hook in there, and the fish sees it, and it says, wow. I guess they can smell. Oh, garlic, my favorite. Oh, and it's so pretty. Some of it even has glitter. I guess it's female fish. I'm not sure. They have glitter, you know, and it's a beautiful color. And the fish says, oh, that's so exciting. That's so attractive. And it smells so good. I'm going for it. Here's what the fish should see. It shouldn't see the rainbow bait. It should see the hook behind the bait. And then it ought to see the frying pan on the shore. Now, I don't eat fish. I think fish are of the devil. Okay? Well, Jesus ate fish. He walked on water, too, and healed people. I don't do either of those. So I'm not going to be like Jesus knows there. But we brought it back, and Brother Ross is cooking it. Now, that morning, that fish was swimming around having a good time. And he saw garlic-flavored, bright yellow power bait. He should have saw the frying pan. That's what you need to see with temptation. You need to see the end because the end is not good. Oh, but it's exciting right now, and my flesh is into it. It's going to be great. You got to see the end. You got to see the pain. You got to see the destruction. You got to see all the problems it's going to cause. So we must understand. We must have the proper understanding of temptation. Now let's look at Christ for a minute and see how we can avoid all this. We must have the proper response to temptation. Jesus had the proper response. It wasn't a problem for him. Okay? He wasn't looking at the garlic-flavored, rainbow-colored, sparkly, glittery bait. He knew what was at the end. So how can we have the proper response? Well, let me give you several things from the verses. Walk in the Spirit. It's a little phrase there in chapter 1, in verse 1 of chapter 4 we miss. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus wasn't just walking on his own. He was walking with the Spirit. He was being led of the Spirit. You know how we overcome temptation? Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's be close to God. Let's have God's word running through our life. Let's be seeking to do everything we can to be a good Christian. Let's be faithful to do the things that God's told us to do. And if we're right with God and we're doing all those things, when temptation comes, we'll be able to get past it. Because it'll just be something that came into our life, and we'll be going back to 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, and God gives us a way of escape. You can get over it. It'll just be a blip on the radar screen. You'll be at work, and you're supposed to be at work, and your boss is going to say, I need you to lie for me. You're going to say, can't do that, I'm a Christian. It'll just be easy. You'll be at work, you'll be getting water or whatever, and that guy will come by and say, hey, how are you? And you'll say, drop dead. You get that email from your partner at work, and at the end they'll throw something in there that's inappropriate. And you'll email them back and answer them the question and say, don't ever put that in there again. It'd be very easy. Your relatives will call, hey, you want a drink? You want that? We ain't doing that here. Very easy. Why? We're walking in the Spirit. We're not rude. We're not mean. Although if someone's trying to hit on you, be rude. Hey, you want to go out? Yeah. Show up at 3332 Magnolia Avenue, 9:30 Sunday morning. We'll go out. We'll have a date. You and me, my husband, my Sunday school teacher, my pastor, the choir leader, and everybody else. Don't let it get to you. Walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, God, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, we're trying to live the Christian life by ourselves. We're trying to do without God's help whatsoever, and guess what? That doesn't work. You'll look good on the outside. Everything will seem okay, but when push comes to shove, the Spirit's not there, and it's a struggle. So walk in the Spirit. Next, I would say remain strong. Look at when Satan was tempting Jesus. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. You think? He hadn't eaten in 40 days. Man, come see me after 4 hours. It's like, brother, let's dive into the pizza or something. And by the way, you don't think, like, when you're tired or you have physical things, it affects you spiritually. He was hitting Jesus at a very, he wasn't just hungry, okay? He was fatigued. He was, you know, there was doing things to his mind. Okay, that was weakness. That's when Satan comes. When was Joseph tempted with Potiphar's wife? When he was away from his family, no friends, no relatives, lonely young man. And here comes this beautiful woman saying, hey, big guy, boss isn't home. He's gone for a few days. No one's here. You know, that was a perfect temptation for Joseph. But Joseph wasn't weak at that time, was he? Joseph said, you want my jacket? It's yours. I'm out of here. Got to stay strong. Whenever you're weak as a Christian, be careful. You're going to be more tempted to sin and do wrong. That's why I don't understand when people have problems, the first thing they do is they quit coming to church. They quit reading their Bible. Quit spending time with God. Oh, I'm having a tough time. Once everything gets better, I'll come back to church. Too late then. But that's the time you need church. It's time I need church. Remain strong. Don't give in to doubt. Now look what Satan says. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. He knew Jesus was, but that's just how he works. You can almost hear the hiss. If you be the Son of God. Verse 6, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. You see, whenever you start getting tempted, you start doubting and questioning what's right and wrong. Is that really wrong? You find excuses. You find reasons why this course of action isn't as bad as you thought it was before the temptation came. Why it would be okay for me to give in this time. After all, this and this and this is happening. Watch out for doubt. How did Satan get Eve to sin? Did God say that? Are you sure about that? And once the doubt was in her mind, he says, it's not true. It's not true. Get yourself in doubt. Once the doubt comes, then Satan comes back with denial. It's not wrong. You're under grace. It's okay. Just this once. You won't get caught. By the way, you will, unless you're not a Christian. It's not a big deal. Don't give in to doubt. Be committed to Scripture. How did Jesus defeat Satan? And this is really the key. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. Verse number 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Just like, hey, of course you didn't get the concept the first time. It's written again. Verse 10. Jesus said unto him. Now Jesus, after the third temptation, he'd had about enough. Then Jesus said to him, get thee hence. It's time for you to go. And then what did he say? For it is written. It's time for you to go because it's written in the Bible. You see, Jesus didn't debate Satan. Hey, you're hungry. Turn the stones into bread. Well, let me share with you three reasons why I shouldn't turn the stones into bread. He said, it's written. Don't tempt God. Oh, hey, let's do this. Let's go to the pinnacle of the temple. By the way, I always love when people try to use Scripture to justify something wrong they're doing. That cracks me up. But Satan goes, hey, why don't we go to the pinnacle of the temple? By the way, it wasn't 5 feet. It was up. He said, just throw yourself off because the Bible says Jesus. Satan quoted the Bible. Isn't that good? He said, you know, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee that you won't even dash your foot. Now, Jesus could have debated with them again and said, listen, you misquoted the Scripture. Satan left off a key phrase in that, in all thy ways. In other words, God was protecting Jesus in the flesh on the earth. As long as he was following God's will, which he did, wouldn't Jesus could just say, look, I can throw myself off a mountain and I won't break a bone. Yes, he would have. Been tempting God. Satan misquoted it. Jesus didn't even debate with him. He said, it's written. Then he said, hey, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you this world. You don't have to go to the cross and die to redeem mankind and get this world back to yourself. I'll give it to you if you worship me. Jesus said, we've had enough. Time for you to leave because it says, boom. Scripture. That's the best defense. When something comes up, you're not debating whether it's right or wrong. You've been walking in the Spirit. You got the Scripture in your mind. And the Scripture comes to say, you know that's wrong. And by the way, it's not just knowing the Scripture. It's because Jesus was committed to obeying the Scripture. It wasn't a lucky rabbit's foot. He didn't come to Satan and say, here we go, Satan. Ta-da. This isn't a cross and a vampire, okay? There's no holy water and he's burning. It wasn't that he had a Bible. Satan could care less if you have a Bible. Throw that one in. He could care less if you have a Bible. He cares if you're in the Bible. He cares if you know the Bible, and he's really concerned when you're committed to doing what the Bible says. That's a problem for him. And when Jesus was saying, it's written, what was being said is, here's what God says, I'm not listening to you, I'm listening to the authority of God's word. Be committed to Scripture. We struggle so often because we're not committed to Scripture. And then the last thing was this, and this is for us, resist it. Jesus said unto him, get out of here, get thee thence. I'm paraphrasing for you. He said, get lost. Your time is up. The door is open. Get out of here. He gave him the Scripture. He resisted him. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Just fight it. Don't let temptation have the victory. Be a Christian, be strong, do the right thing. You know, here's a misnomer we have. You know, people fall into sin. Some guy did something horrific. It was horrible, and he ruined his life and messed up his family. It's like, oh, he fell into such. Nobody falls. You know what we do? We slowly go into it. Isn't that what happens? We're over here, we're doing good, and then Satan tries to draw us away. Then once we start drawing away, he's like, hey, this over here looks a lot better than it used to. By the way, the things of the flesh look better the farther you are from God. But hey, this now it's starting to look good. And it's something I want to do. And then, boom. You don't stand over here one day loving Jesus. I am so close to Jesus, I can almost see him. And then the next day, you're immoral. It's a process. Slow, painful process. So let's resist it, but I'll tell you where the best place to resist it. You know the best place to resist it is over here, close to Jesus. Now, I'll wait till I'm over here, and then I'll resist it. Too late. That's like the big fights coming up in 2 weeks, right? Pacquiao and Mayweather. We all know who's going to win. Manny Pacquiao is going to win, of course. If there wasn't Filipinos in the church, I wouldn't say that. But actually, I'm a Pacquiao guy, all right? So pray for me. I'll tell you what. If he didn't train for the fight, he would have zero chance. Zero. We got to stay strong. We got to stay over here. We got to be doing what we're supposed to do. I'm going to resist Satan over here close to Jesus. I'm not going to go over there. Because when I'm over there, guess who has the advantage? Oh, Satan has all the advantage in the world. And by the way, I'll throw this in, we're done. Don't help him out. He doesn't need your help with temptation. You know, I was just sitting around at the bar the other day, and believe it, Brother Chim, I was tempted to drink. In a bar, really? That's weird. That's like saying, I want to lose weight, and I was doing so good, but, you know, I was sitting down at Golden Corral, and, you know, I was just struggling. Duh. You know, they had a salad. I know the salad thing is like this big, and the rest of the room is meat and dead animals. Okay? We put ourselves in bad situations. Let's not do that. Listen, the goal is what? The goal of temptation is to ruin us. God doesn't want us to be ruined. Jesus overcame it, so can we. Sin isn't so strong that we can't overcome it unless we try to do it ourselves. Let's just do the things we're supposed to do, and let's do the things that Jesus did. We'll be all right. Let's all stand together this morning.